Podcast Audio Chat. To connect to our always-on and always-streaming audio chat, go to audiochat.thinkologist.com. This is a new and exciting way to communicate with fellow thinkologists around the globe. Each day we compress and post the day's audio into a file that can be big or small. Discover new voices and ideas that talk about media fakery like you never did before. To listen to the live stream, go to s3.fakeologist.com. Now, on with the audio chat. Well, hello. What day is it today? It is Sunday, July 5th, year of our Lord 20. This is the Corona Digest, Corona Times. I'm here with the only fakeologist I've ever met in the flesh. I think he was a real person.
Okay.
And his name is Hoi Polloi. Hello, Hoi.
Hi. I don't identify as that name anymore, but yeah, I mean, that's how most people know me.
Okay, give us your pseudo handle.
Well, you can call me DefCon if you want.
DefCon.
That's my gaming handle. I use that to play a game called Descent. As a 90s game where you use technology against itself. You, like, blow up evil robots. It was fun. You didn't have to kill anybody.
You just disassembled robots?
You violently demolished robots with missiles and things. But, I mean, yeah. You weren't killing conscious beings. You know, that was what I liked. It was a first-person shooter, but it wasn't.
No AI robots were destroyed during this game.
Right, no. They were sane mechs. Good game. Anyway.
Well, we haven't talked in how long? Half a year? I don't know.
A few years, maybe.
A couple for that. We've been out of touch that long?
Maybe a couple years.
Well, can I remind people who you are from the past, or are you breaking from the past?
I don't know. I mean, yeah, it doesn't matter. Whatever you feel gives your show meaning.
Well, this was a 9/11 site. We've now rebranded. We're now Corona all the time. But you are the entity known as Hoi Polloi. You are one of the main progenitors of the victim from 9/11. Was our main focus for so many years because it was the largest, biggest military psyop in the history of our world that we know. And I always thought you were the most clear and writer on a forum called Nobody Wrote More Clearly and Succinctly and Eloquently than yourself.
Thanks.
No doubt in my mind. Now, Simon's a close second, but of course he has a disadvantage of speaking four other languages. Before English, but overall, you two were just the essence of clues for me was the most clear, intelligent explanation for the largest psyop, 9/11. So I will be permanently indebted to you, Simon, for your clear and concise and explanatory thesis of what happened on 9/11. I don't think anyone has been more accurate ever and probably won't be in the future, in the past now.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's cool. It's confusing. Without actually people like you to tell me that, you know, doubts do creep into my mind. Like, well, maybe it just doesn't matter. But no, I'm glad that you say that. But we were onto it at one point. I still don't know how I feel about it now. I mean, you know, I wrote in the report that the victim report, maybe this is a cover up of real deaths, you know, but that it's unlikely because they wouldn't probably do that. But, you know, if you wanted to leave room for that, certainly could. It still holds up as an interesting thing to come across, this bizarre way they structured the victim memorial on CNN.com. But, you know, it's been how many? There's teenagers now. You know, it's been 19 years. I've never experienced what we experienced back then. it almost doesn't matter. Maybe you're right that kind
we're
of
talking just
switch it
yeah.
to this Corona thing because, you know, it overshadows 9/11 in a way.
Well, I would say it eclipses it. Just so you know, DEFCON, I'm mobile today. I know it's Sunday and I should be praying, but I am mobile. So if we get interrupted on this audio chat, just hang in here, and if I get interrupted, phone call or something, don't leave. Just stay here and I'll be back if you can. And possibly.
Okay, yeah, you're cutting in and out, but that's fine. I mean, just try
yes,
to...
I am mobile, so I'm going through different cellular tower areas. As soon as we get the 5G implemented worldwide, I'm sure we'll have much better reception tracking.
I doubt it, actually. But, okay.
Well, you know, they're probably...
I mean, they're already working on 6, 7, and 8G, so...
Well, as soon as we're more densely blanketed with RF waves, where you can't go to any cellular shadows, I agree, the technology is still as flaky as it was when I first got a cell phone in the 1980s. Cutouts. My favorite part of analog cellular is I could hear other people's conversations. Our cellular connection cross because two half duplexes get cross channeled, and you could hear everything the other person said, but of course they couldn't hear you because the half duplex they're connected to, you're listening to another disconnected half duplex. So, but it was still funny listening to people carry on for as long as they didn't realize they were disconnected from the other half of the call.
I remember when I had a phone once. Yeah, I did. I had a phone, and I know that's weird for me. Someone texted me a picture of a baseball jersey, and they said, "Well, what do you think of this?" That was the start. That was the start of the conversation, and I just went along with it. I was like, "Well, that's cool, but you know, we going to a game or something?" And then it took a while for them to realize that they were having a conversation with a stranger.
Right. Well, at least it wasn't Anthony Weiner accidentally texting you.
Who's this? Is this the reference that I forgot between you and me?
Anthony Weiner was the congressman, I believe, New York City, that was busy, we're told, sending dick pics to his girlfriend, a boyfriend, or both.
Oh.
That was a big psychological event. Zach, I guess you put that one for that one, I guess.
How's your day going?
Today is, we're having Arizona weather. It's 36 Celsius, which is probably in the 90s Fahrenheit. The conversion is so awkward, I can't get it in my head.
Oh, that humidity up there, yeah, it's going to feel like 110.
The humidity is just building. We've had 4 days of 90s without real humidity, which is extremely odd, but told this week it will build up and will be... Oh, we'll be in the 40s with the humidex, as they call it. And I think you're in Arizona, is that right?
Yeah. No, it's been nice. I mean, still okay to go for a walk, you know, get a lot of nice vitamin D. When it reaches about 102, can't really, you know, it's not fun. So, and lately, it's actually weirdly, we got like a tiny dash of humidity. Now it's
yeah.
I guess, evaporating or whatever.
Desert. You are in a desert, so.
Yeah, no, I mean, normally you could literally be out and it's 100, it's 90, you're like, oh, this is fine. But lately it's been, I don't know.
Yeah.
A lot of chemtrails going by, and a lot of, like, fake clouds and weird, you know, electromagnetic patterns in the clouds. It's all right, whatever. I'm getting out of the city
eventually. Well, ironically, 102 is a fever level for a human being, is it not? I'm learning all about this now because we're talking about taking everything.
Oh, interesting, yeah. So maybe that's why it gets uncomfortable. Because it's like your body kind of associates it with, oh, this feels like a fever.
Well, that is the temperature your body elevates itself to get rid of whatever is ailing it. And, of course, we take medicine to bring it back down. And, of course, that doesn't treat the underlying condition, but it just tempers the body's response, which, of course, might prolong or even damage the body. But because we don't understand our own bodies very well, that's medicine. That's what we call medicine today.
What do you think of Vidair's whole thing about how you don't, you know, the reason things are contagious is because, like, a yawn is contagious. It's not really a germ. It's like a some kind of psychological, physiological, or spiritual thing.
I'll go psychological on that. I think if we see some other yawning and we are tired already, that just triggers synapses in our brain via our eyeballs to engage in the same conditions. It is quite easy to trigger a yawn for someone who's retired.
Right. So then do you think the same applies to colds and flus?
No, I don't think so. I think that's just if we are in similar conditions, eating similar foods, lacking similar vitamin D, which may be one of the more important things in our lives, then I think our terrains are all equally weakened, and that's why we're more susceptible to exhibiting flu-like symptoms.
So do you like germ theory, or do you think that it's questionable?
I am terrain theory 24/7. I think it's the absolute most sensible idea, and I think the reason the powers that be don't like it is it's almost possible to monetize. It's like podcasting. You can't monetize it very well, and without donation, and this is a native ad, by the way. Hold on a second.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
I'm Insert Person. You're listening to Fakeologist Radio on fakeologist.com.
Now, we are on the audio chat. That means that every 20 minutes there will be a little break of a bumper of some sort, so I don't have to announce what audio this is.
Oh.
Feel free to not be worried about that little break. You did one of those bumpers way back in the day as your sauna. Grateful for that because it reminds me of all the past people that are on this audio, which is great. So anytime your bumper comes up, we always discuss you for maybe 5 minutes.
Well, I hope it's not terrible, it's but on the other hand, how can I care?
Positive.
So, see, did you want to have a specific discussion or you just
of course. I wanted to talk to one of the greatest minds in psychological operations about what's happening now. You must have 1,000 thoughts that I'd like to get into audio and get the world to understand, because I've said before and 100 times, you have one of the greatest minds deconstructing the world. I want to catch your thoughts while I can.
I'm in such a different place. You know, like I used to, I feel like I've gotten more in my body, gotten more in emotional heart space and like spirits and stuff. Stuff I can't really articulate well yet.
Okay.
As Hoi Polloi, I was trying to make a political movement. I was trying to gather people who are like-minded, you know, the mind is, and try to figure out if we could decide to do something together. But more people were like, oh yeah, you have a point there. We should just give up. Oh, there's nothing we can do politically. Voting doesn't matter. Organizing is fruitless. So I created this defeatist attitude that, I'm not so sure that was very useful. At the time, I was aggressive about it because I thought, well, this is what we do, right? We yell slogans and we march around and, you know, we were just doing that in a virtual space. But it was just, after a while, it was like, okay, we're all just couch potatoes. What are we going to do? We're not going to go to the city council? Not going to write letters together? I mean, we're not going to do anything? It was this like, oh, that's fruitless. And it's pointless. It doesn't do anything. Like that's the culture that was created. There, I did that on accident, or whether it wasn't me, I don't know, but, you know, so just don't know what purpose it serves anymore to talk about one opinion being the way. I'm now more open than ever to holding lots of different conflicting things in my mind, which I think is weird because probably most people are wanting to be real partisan right now. They want to be on the side of that we should all wear masks, and if you don't, you're stupid, or you know, wearing a mask is stupid. It makes you sicker, and can't impose that on us because it's our right to not have to have some mandate imposed on us. And that
it's our
freedom.
Right to breathe.
It's our right to breathe, right? But see, you're both right, and I don't really, you know, I don't have anything that I say is going to be what you've already heard from someone you agree with or you don't agree with. You heard it. No one knows what's going on. If anyone knows what's going on fully or says they do, I think that is a person I want to avoid right now because there's too much different things. The media is like imploding. Can see how, on the one hand, they'll release something one day and say, well, numbers are up, and then the next day they'll say, actually, we're not so sure what those numbers mean, and then some bigwig comes out and says, we're throwing out the numbers completely, and someone says, well, we need to open up the businesses now because of capitalism. They're trying to collapse the economy, right? So then the neocons are like, yeah, it's all about the economy, small businesses, middle class. And so they open businesses up. And then whoever is driving the numbers says, okay, well, then we have to turn the numbers up and release those bigger numbers of people getting cases. And so they say, oh, okay, well, then make a mandate about face masks. I'm sorry, I just don't think there's one concerted in this. It's, to me, this is not like 9/11, where there was like a very controlled, studied military space, and you know they had it all worked out. It's the opposite. It's like it just got too, britches got too big for them, and there's lots of people waking up because to manipulation, media manipulation for whatever you know benefit or detriment species. It's not really unconcerted effort, in my opinion. I can't really characterize the whole thing as anything. Bizarre, multifaceted, multi-layered situation.
You don't think we're following an organized script?
Some people are. I think it's like, okay, there's the script that, you know, some people are trying to drive the narrative that vaccines are the solution and I'll have to get a microchip or something. Or even just a no, typical Monsanto vaccine filled with GMOs and fetus parts and whatever. But then you have this other script that's like, America is being destroyed by Marxists who have infiltrated Black Lives Matter and Antifa. And there are many scripts going on. And no, I don't think there is one particular that's rising above the others yet. Actually, QAnon, for example, was kind of doing well for a while. People that are basically just like for Trump, you know, kind of hijacked the fakery stuff and turned it into the fake news meme. Even in QAnon, there's dissension. Now we've done jack shit. Where is QAnon actually going to show they're actually supposed to be about? I mean,
where do you get the QAnon narrative, by the way?
I think you can.
I don't know.
I'd say Reddit and Instagram are the two biggest sources, besides going right to the original source, which I think is 4chan or 8chan.
I don't. Yeah, I've been on Reddit. I have an Instagram account, but I've never been on 4chan. Is that just and 8chan? Are they simply that?
I think 4chan and 8chan are Japanese anime or just general television channels in Japan had so Japan had the internet way before us, right? They were using phones and
really?
They were using internet on their phones like when we were still just getting them, you know, 2000.
Oh, really? I did not know that. I had internet. I had one of the Fido hip one of the hip tops called a Sidekick in the U.S. It was a flip out internet smartphone, beginnings of smartphone, full keyboard, and I don't know if that was in Japan. That had GSM internet slow, but it worked, and it rendered a web page quite well. Well, obviously, in its.
I think only Europeans would know about this thing called TV text. That might be something that I'm calling by the wrong name, but it was in the 90s. And I was in Germany, and you could turn on this text on your TV. The TV would switch to this, like, I don't know, like 16-color green. Like, you know, ASCII art, ASCII art?
Right, ASCII, yeah.
ASCII art, where people make, you know, like these slashes and periods and colons to, like, make. It looked like that, except it was on your TV. So, like, you could, let's say I'm watching the early version of Cartoon Network, which was just a bunch of, you know, they gathered a bunch of Hanna-Barbera cartoons and stuff. So you could, like, see a TV guide kind of in the TV with your, these four color buttons. And it was kind of like a 90s version of, like, a Roku or where you could, or maybe Internet Movie Database. So you kind of like browse these screens, find out, oh, here's a little page on the Flintstones. Or it was really bizarre. That kind of thing was in Europe. I never saw that come to the States. I don't know what that system was for or why they were using it. I guess they were trying to maybe compete with Japanese system, which already had internet. And I think that's kind of what they were looking at. They were looking at things like, I don't even know if 4chan and 8chan existed at that time, but, you know, let's say you're watching a TV show and you want to have a community about it. Maybe the broadcasters want to know who's watching, what they're talking about, how they're receiving the information, the programming. So they have these, like, chat rooms. But at some point, an American company or something, like, got domain, or the Japanese channel kind of was like, this is not working out as a community that we want to be associated with, so they let it go. And so it's like this funny little expat feeling, you know, like, you know, expats, right? They leave Canada, Australia, or America, and they go, or England, and they end up in some Asian country, and they end up kind of like live this weird in-between life, where they're not... Like, they're not quite an Asian, but they're...
All right. So that's where QAnon drops all his good stuff?
I think that's what QAnon is. It's like this expat community. They feel safe to discuss things about America. But it's also, you know, it's also just people who are fans of manga and anime, and they just want to talk about you know, Japanese culture and enjoy it. But then also talk about how much they masturbate to that stuff. And it's a very weird, like, subculture. I think that sense of freedom being not quite under Japan's thumb and not quite under USA's thumb, maybe nurtured that community of, like, well, we can talk about problems with America. You know, we can talk about, you know, the CIA and stuff and conspiracies and guessing, you know, this is just how I'm looking at it without being involved. You know, if I went there, they'd probably be like, you're so full of shit. You know, you don't even know what you're talking about, but that's just what I am sort of gathering from asking people about it, looking at it like binoculars. Maybe there's something real about this anonymous thing. Maybe like, or maybe like Black Lives Matter, it started as a scam, but then a bunch of legitimate people joined it because they felt invited to be a part of a movement. And so now, you know, people are like, oh, the whole thing of BLM is money laundering for the Democratic Party, and or it's Marxist in disguise or whatever. But there's actually just a lot of genuine people who are just like, oh, cool, another party, you know, another party for me to go to. I'd no longer have to be just a Democrat. Now I can also be activist that looks anti-racist and progressive. And so it's complex. It's not all just one script. And I think that's the same thing that's going on with Corona. There's the bioengineered angle. There's the virology isn't even a real thing script. There's the, the David Icke-ian kind of 5G causes a lot of this script. And all of them have points, actually. I found it really useful to listen to all of the different sides. And there's a lot of heart and passion in the script that's like, wear a mask, just do it for the old people. We've forgotten about our elders. They're the most vulnerable. And I know there's plenty of good arguments for not doing it that way for our older generations. But I think there's just so much division. I think that's the real issue here. We need to listen to each other again. We need to just stop trying to find the ultimate baddie. You know, we don't have to stop at what I mean, really. What I mean is, when you're faced right with a person, you're just talking to a person individually, you don't have to see them like how Hoi Polloi was framing people in this, like, you're with us, you're against us kind of mentality. I just don't. And I was doing that political stuff. I mean, it wasn't entirely that. It was really, I mean, I really thought I was on the side of good and humanity, you know. but just so much division. Yeah, you could say that's natural, and those people have a point. We'll never fully cure racism in us, in all of us.
Well, we'll never cure our differences, because we have lots of differences.
Yes, yes.
And how we deal with our differences. You're different than me. I'm more of a working, stiff capitalist, and I think you're a more artistic person, a deep thinker. But we can still relate on many levels.
Exactly, exactly.
I have a passion of, yeah, we have many overlaps. I have a small family. You're, as far as I know, without children. And, yeah, but we have lots in common, and that's when we meet and come together.
Yeah,
obviously that on the 9/11 front.
That's the important thing to do.
Yeah, we can overlap. We're not, our laps only overlap. Our lives only overlap for a couple hours a year. That's enough to get some synergy, get some energy, get some exchange some ideas, and I think that's fine, fantastic. We're not the same person. Never will be, and never could be.
That's good. I like that. Like it not because I don't want to be you. I like it because
you got enough of me.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I have this superstition that I like to play with spiritual ideas lately, and I have this one idea, kind of fun. At one point, we're all going to have to be each other. There's no escape. So when I die, one day I'm going to have to live your life, the whole thing. And one day you're going to have to live my life, the whole thing. And we'll have forgotten that we were the other person.
And how long would that go on?
Oh, just as long as it takes. Just a very, very, very long time. And I thought, what if that's the case? You know, it's just a fun thought exercise.
Well, hold on a sec.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
I'm here with Def Con, who will be known as Hoi Polloi, the main author of the Vixen Report, DenverForum.info, talking Corona. Def Con, would you have ever predicted 2020 would be as it is now with this Corona, COVID, influenza virus and just basically completely turning the world upside down? Would you predict it even last year?
I'm not good with that kind of prophecy. I'm actually reading a good book on prophecy right now called EMT and the Hebrew Bible or something like that. I can't remember the actual name. But so this guy, he's actually a Buddhist, but finds that the Buddhists are very, they get to a point in their spiritual life where they say, let's just say it's a trend in Buddhism, especially in Western appropriations and Western versions of Buddhism, that you're like, there is no spiritual structure that really matters to think about. The main point is to just learn to let go of every fucking little thing. So DMT experiences where people are talking to like crystal robot elves and shit, that's not important because that's just a hallucination or an illusion. And he was like, well, I don't really feel that way because he's a doctor, okay, in New Mexico. And because I've encountered lots of people taking this drug and all seeing something very fascinating, all seeing crystal beings or like, it's like another reality. That's the experience of the people who take this DMT, whether it's some lab grown one or a mushroom or a animal or whatever. And so it says, well, what does prophecy actually mean? Maybe prophecy, which shows up in the Torah or the Old Testament or what he calls the Hebrew Bible, because I think, he took some issue with the idea of old and new, you know, in Old Testament, New Testament. And he says, maybe these people who are like, you know, Moses is like a 70-year-old guy, 80-year-old guy, and he sees this shit. You know, it's not exactly that he was on some exogenic substance, that he was, it's that prophecy actually is something that happens when you take them, and it can also happen through meditation or other mental states. And, I'm not really too far in the book yet, but what I liked about it was that he's comparing, a Western historic record. And of course you could say, yes, the Bible is all just silly mythology, made up stuff. That's fine. I'm actually agree with that perspective in some way. But I respect also the people who see it as something more important. It's fine. Could be spiritual or even they see it as like a historic record of some kind that got distorted by metaphor and mistranslations and deliberate mistranslations too. I realized that, yeah, okay, prophecy is something that we can all experience. It can happen in deja vu, happen in lots of different ways without any need for taking drugs, which I'm not into. I don't plan on, maybe when I'm an old man, I'll take a mushroom. Just because I'm like, you know, I'm old now. Doesn't matter. Let's just see what this prophecy stuff is. I feel like I sometimes get these impressions. Wouldn't say that I've ever had one about a future event like some people do. Some people have this like clairvoyant thing happen. I wouldn't say like I'm like super on the inside of anything like they say William Cooper was.
Right.
Who like said, oh yeah, 9/11's coming, mark my words, and then sure enough it like happens. So, I mean that's not even prophecy, that's probably just insider trading.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Yeah, he was an insider. He was given to us as the guy that was to let all the doubters in.
Yeah, yeah.
Going on. Yeah.
Something like that. I mean, I personally don't trust him, but I know some people will say that, oh yeah, no, he's really onto it. That's the kind of person that I want to pay attention to, and that's fine, you know. So I don't know. Maybe he's legit.
Well, he was ex-military.
Yes, I know.
There's no such thing as ex-military, I think, to people.
Right, right. No, I agree with that, but then also, hold on. I'm getting a call. One sec.
Toy boy, he's got a lot going on his computer. I think he got a Google phone call. That's what that ring sounds like. Fakeologist speaking. You're listening to the audio chat live stream. Fakeologist.com/donate. We have a PO box now. If you like these calls, you want to support Fako, where I put what I think are the best audios and videos up for service. That's an expensive site to run. Any help in running that site?
Okay, I'm back. Sorry about that. Yeah, I'll talk to my dad later. Where was I? Oh, yeah, so prophecy. I think I've had some of that. Like, I've had something where, okay, this is weird. I was walking
call.
Are you on a call now?
I have to get my Bluetooth back.
Am I coming through?
Yeah,
my Bluetooth. Discord is a great app, and I've noticed that their founders are probably in the military themselves. We're mentioning that now they're realizing that it's more of a voice communication app. It's a day of telecommunications gone crazy versus a gaming app, and they're going to focus on making it a better voice app. Of course, I don't game. I think you said you game, so maybe Discord has always been a good app for you if you're gaming at the same time. Is that right?
It's been shoddy at best, opinion.
Oh, okay.
I think even TeamSpeak is good. I mean, some people swear by Discord. I don't know why. For me, it's very, very buggy. I've never had success with it. But it's very popular now, so it's all right, whatever.
Yeah, I found the voice. It's easier to get going. It's a little more friendly than TeamSpeak. The main thing I like about TeamSpeak is I can have my own server. I don't need the Discord central server. But I like it. So I have a TeamSpeak Fakeologist server. I don't really use it, but it's always there in case Discord decides to float itself or get bought out by Google, subsequently tanked, which is what Google does.
Yep. Funny, Google has been copying Zoom now. I think they're almost the same thing. I think recently government was like, oh, shit, like Google Hangouts is just not
good.
It's not good, and Zoom has just taken over this pandemic thing. So
yes.
I think maybe decided to kind of merge them, because now there's there are weird things I've noticed. There's like, well, turn this Zoom into a Google Talk call or something, you know, and I'm like, huh? How does that work? Like, I thought the protocols were different, but I think they're kind of, you know, government is kind of like, tucking things in, you know, tucking in the corners of the bed.
Interesting. Google doesn't innovate very well. I think they take a company that's good, they buy it, they put their name on it, and then they don't do much to develop it, or they kill it.
Yep.
That's how they work. They're
the Disney way. You don't create anymore. You just buy it and then squeeze it dry, and you don't even care if the fans are like, oh, you're destroying this thing I love.
Well, it is corporatism. Corporatism goes in. It's not meant to really add a lot of value. It's there to, I think, to extract value, especially if it's taking over something that's already created. Creative energy has been used. It's been corporatized, and it's traded as within corporations. You can only make money from
it. And I'll tell you, when earlier this year, like January, partner and I were talking a lot about what we thought we would hope for, you know, for 2020. And we'd been sick in, you know, end of 2019, had some cough thing. Might have been corona for all we know. I don't know. And then we were like, okay, what are we going to do? You know, we were kind of making New Year's resolutions, looking at on astrology things for 2020, and it was the furthest from our minds that there would be a like this kind of like banging pots and pans kind of level of distraction. Thought that we would see more people's dreams coming true. You know, that was kind of our prediction for the year. Maybe that actually is kind of true in a way. I mean, maybe Bill Gates' dreams are coming through.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Like, it was kind of that feeling. And I still actually have a great deal of optimism about this year. I mean, despite losing a friend, contagion, whatever the hell it is, and, you know, despite all the lockdown and all that shit, like, it actually, this is, on some level, I was just talking with other folks about this. It's like, this is how I imagined peace when I was younger. Would stop going out so much, stop frantically buying useless crap. We'd spend more time together, for better or worse, and get through our traumas together and trigger each other constantly because we're living in close quarters. And so I just thought, that's peace. This is like people living together and facing reality together instead of getting distracted by this consumerism. And then when they were coming out with things like, yeah, these planes are not flying as much, and you know, Venice's water's cleared up. It's still polluted as shit, but, you know, at least it's clear. And, you know, things like that, like, I was just like, wow, this is cool. I like this. So, I know that people will say our freedoms are being attacked. I personally, when I, like, have kind of, like, asked people about their lives, what has actually changed for you? People will just be like, well, I can't, you know, the hours of the store I like are not what I want. I'm like, that's not your freedom. You know, that's just like a store's hours change. So you're not actually losing any freedom at all. You know, you're worried that Bezos is making like lots of money. Well, then don't shop at Amazon. I mean, like, nothing has really changed, really. It's just that, you know, public area has been closed down a little, and I'm like, that sucks, absolutely. But on the other hand, like, you still get lost in the national park and get kidnapped by fairies? Probably, yeah. You camping, and can you travel for cheap now because airplanes are, like, desperate for people to fly? Yeah. So, I mean...
Okay.
Anyway, what do you want to do? Use this as an opportunity to do what you want to do. You know, yes, demonstration is important too if you want to make some change. But then, funny, I've been in these chats too on YouTube about the Black Lives Matter thing, and I'm going to the neocon ones that are like, oh man, just I hope someone. So that we can shoot him. And then I'm going to the, the protesters' channels where they're like, just doing the mantras. And I'm trying to see if I can help them understand one another, because there's like this bizarre gap in understanding about what's going on. And I think it's actually working. I mean, I'm meeting more and more people that are like, yeah, you know, you make a point about, you know, there's some legitimate people in this, but then also there's like a narrative being steered, and so I think it's good. I think there's a lot going on, and it's good. But if you want to make a difference, go out and make a difference. You know, you can sit at home and complain that these people are. Oh no, someone burned down a Wendy's, but it's like, really, in the long run, is that going to change your life at all? No. But like, just, you know, if you want to make a difference, do it your own way. Do it your own way, you know, you don't have to complain that other people are trying to make a difference in one way. I mean, it just, people give away their power so quickly. Quick to be like, I can't control this, and I feel out of control, and my gun. You know, it's like, You are still free. You have total control over your own life. You can do whatever you want. You know what? The Chinese people are still taking the biggest hit. You may complain about your life, but like, who's getting the worst? Like, we're sending all the pollution and all the bullshit over there. they're accepting it in exchange for U.S. dollars. So, and it's like,
yeah.
Who's really getting the bum end of this deal?
Yeah, they're still working 6 days a week, 12 hours a day, whatever that funny work schedule number I mentioned in the past. They're still doing it for slave labor so we can have our cheap everything, electronics, clothing. And yeah. Like you said, Wuhan gets Detroit level of pollution from the 50s.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if we really want to understand what's going on, you have to travel to China and ask the average Chinese person, how the hell are you surviving under this oppressive government? I feel sorry for you. They're like, and religion, then there's still some that's kind of under the radar. It's crazy. I don't want to go to China. And I think it's important. I probably should understand what's going on if I really want to be a world citizen or whatever. But I don't want to. I mean, it's so polluted. It's so sad. My Chinese American friends are like, yeah, no, I'm never going back.
So you see this as a bit of an opportunity, not so much a terrible thing.
No, I mean, what's terrible? I mean, yes, the sickness is terrible, but there's even things coming out now that are like, okay, here's how you cure it. 99% of the time, vitamin C, cough syrup, surround yourself with plants, and take deep breaths because the thing is anaerobic and it'll die if you take deep breaths. Breathe through the pain, and take pain medication if you can, but not certain pain medications because those will make the virus thrive. So, you know, attention. And I'm talking from the perspective of the mainstream establishment community of doctors and stuff. Okay. Right. Not like, yeah, if you don't believe in the virus, that's fine. I'm trying to use that language. You can take you can take hydrochloroquine, you can take zinc at the same time, and hydrochloroquine opens up.
If you want to encourage more audios like these, please go to Psychologist.com and click the Patreon button under the Donate section. For $1.19 a month, you can call yourself a verified listener, and for $9.11 a month, a benefactor, who will get a shout out every time Ab does a show. Thank you for your support.
Pat Benatar?
No, that is Geddy Lee of Rush. The song is called Big Money. Huh. Get it? Big Money, donate?
Okay. Yeah, okay, yeah. Speaking of that, okay. I mean, these drugs, mainstream drugs, are cost you. But it's not going to be bad as a vaccine, you know, it's going to fuck you up. I mean, this hydrochloroquine, I think, is just generally good for virus. Then the zinc enters into the cell and stops the cell from replicating, and your body can recover. You have to have a good balanced immune system, though, because if it goes overdrive, you know, your body will attack itself, going, oh, what is this bacteria? Oh, no. Like, if you meditate, breathe, acts, something that takes your mind off things. If you have loved ones who can do this for you, thank you, nice broths. I was lucky enough when I got sick, my mom made me beef broth and borscht.
Right.
Yeah. And it was so good. I literally felt my whole body filled with energy after I had a delicious broth. Now, some people are saying fruit is the answer, and for them, you know, do that. Whatever it is that gives you that big boost of energy. And yeah, of course, sit in the sunlight if you can. Avoid allergens. Might be a conflict if you have to be outside, but maybe you can have access to a lot of windows. Protects you from the allergens, but you get like this lovely sunlight. Way more vitamin C than you even thought, which, you know, have a lot of vitamin C. You're just going to pee it out.
Right.
You know, don't have vitamin D because, I mean, have vitamin D, but only have as much as normal. Because you can have a vitamin D overdose. You don't want that. Vitamin C, you can't really have too much of. A lot of water and vitamin C, you're just going to pee it out. Extra stuff. And, I mean, people were doing this more shoving a nervous person into a hospital bed with a ventilator and murdering them with this ventilator system. That's bursting their fucking lungs. And then getting a hospital bonus for that.
Murder.
We'd be solving this. People don't want to solve it. They want to profit from
ventilator
it.
Meme, I never understood that at all. It's such a, how they promoted that early on in this, and I'll call it a PSYOP. I have no problem calling it a, only the military could run something this big and this organized.
Yeah, I mean, it does seem that way.
It's just so big.
If you listen to the medical practitioners who are like, yeah, no, I couldn't, I had to stop people on ventilators because this system is wrong, we're murdering healthy people with this. They're coming in, testing negative, and then they get on the breathing system and they're testing positive, and we all know in this community the problems with, like, the multitude of problems with the so-called tests that don't even work, which false positives, false negatives, and are just all around just a mess. But the real thing is, like, if you're sick, you know, get home and get better. You can do it. Look it up. There's also now look it up. Cidivir or something. Some kind of other treatment that people are doing. And even mainstream doctors are like, yeah, there's hope for this. It's a good one. Remdesivir and steroids. You can also try ozone therapy. There's Anthroposophy has their own homeopathic treatments, as well as ginger back compresses. So, like, when you have a bad pneumonia, there's ginger compresses on the back and relieve the pain in amazing ways. And so you can breathe through it again. Your oxygen in there, and anaerobic, it'll kill the infection. So I don't know. I'm not a medical person, but it just seems to me that there are professional medical people talking about these things, and just have to not panic. Don't panic. If you feel sick, you know, there's even some natural medicine places you can go to. They'll just give you an IV of like super vitamin C, give you a little boost. I like to take echinacea. I have ragweed issues. That's not great. But there's also natural remedies like white pine needles. Peppermint can clear you out. Too much peppermint can give you a muscle issue, but strategic uses of peppermint, like peppermint your face a little bit, dash the oil with some coconut oil as a carrier or something else, and drink peppermint tea, breathe in those peppermint tea fumes, and that'll clear you out.
I've had echinacea peppermint when my nose plug. My wife makes me a little bib at night, plug right up, mainly due to allergies.
But don't worry. I mean, yeah, okay, people are talking about, second wave and third wave, and this is just the beginning. And point is, we all have to start looking at our immune systems, don't we? I mean, we've been damaging them through misuse and abuse, and just hope that this is
exposure to unnatural things like plastics. Plastics are, even the steering wheel I'm grabbing, because the sun is so hot today, it's decomposing my plastic steering wheel, and it's getting
into a hot car, and you can smell it.
Yeah, that is definitely nature decomposing an unnatural plastic, and that's toxic. Does anyone study that? No. We're not living in a natural environment. We're living in the cities, in the suburbs. We're not even land, we paved over it.
Yeah, so a cave dweller might be able to get away with it. They might, it would be like that Chuck Norris meme where he's like drinking Corona for breakfast. But we've been desensitized and weakened and kind of like, it's okay. I mean, most of us are pretty, we all have sturdy peasant stock. Well, got it.
Yeah, humans are pretty resistant. We've lasted this long, but what is your take on the virus or on the germ theory?
I personally lean towards the idea that I don't understand what they're doing and they bioengineer a test virus through gain-of-function research, but they do make something. And this thing might work as a contagion for a while. I'm not sure, but I mean, I kind of liked the Harvard to the Big House breakdown, which talks about how Americans, Canadians, and Chinese have all been studying gain-of-function virology and swapping out receptors and stuff, and then passing them through ferret lungs. And it's just interesting that you know, when people try to isolate this corona and they put it in like a, you know, a tree shrew or a ferret, it like just ravages their lungs because like the ACE2 receptors are too strong for them. That's the story about that. So, I mean, if you want to believe in virology, say, yeah, you should look at the bioengineering angle. It's like someone released a bioengineered agent a little too early. You know, whether that was planned in order to circumvent the Bill Gates moves, or if it was an accident, because, you know, Wuhan just accidentally releases like 100 fucking viruses a year. No, that's an exaggeration, but I mean, like, they're known for, you know, not having proper contagion efforts and accidentally releasing various things. So, I mean, I just, yeah, there's military stuff, but I think it's not as simple as politics. It's not as simple as, like,
oh,
you know, you can look.
Yeah, I don't think it's politics. I think this is a global, I think I would call it a global, worldwide, if you don't believe in the worldwide medical of all governments. This is
down there, Ab.
I would call this a worldwide medical, unelected public health officials that are the in-place army in all countries, it seems, being run by Bill Gates' conglomerate of the WHO and all his medically minded corporations around the world that are integrated tightly and funded by him, really create a worldwide vaccination business, a business customer everywhere. Imagine a business, starting a business where your customer is everyone on the planet. And imagine the government, the world, the people, paying for it. What could you possibly invent that you could sell over again to the governments, which are the people, every single year, twice a year even? Well, believe in the germ theory that you can get a new germ or a new virus, and there's 320,000 different viruses in humans, or, sorry, all animals, including humans.
Yeah.
And you have an endless product line, and a completely changing product line. You can modify it all the time. If you believe that you can catch a virus. And I even
You
can catch a virus.com.
And if you don't believe that you can catch one, they could still take RNA and be like, okay, if you see this strand, that's evidence of this.
Yes.
And then sell a vaccine anyway. So yeah, you're right. I mean, it is a big old vaccine program. But, you know, just say no. Say no.
Yes.
No one's going to arrest you and inject you. That's not going to happen.
But they might restrict my privileges. I call them rights.
Well, then get around it. Get around it. Just say it's against your religion. You know, say it's against you. There's, you know, two defeated.
I agree. Will there be exemptions always?
There's always going to be exemptions. There's always going to be hackers. There's always going to be a way around anything that humans make. Humans are even better at unmaking it.
Getting around them. I like that.
And I when I go to the store now, I say, I'm sorry, but it is against my religion. I can't, you know, into a discussion once with the guy.
Oh, are you masking up? I meant that.
No. He's like, well, I prefer you wear a mask. I'm going to let you in. That's it.
No one's
gonna slap a mask on your face, and, you know, just express to people. You know, we're so afraid of communicating with one another. Tell them, no, I don't do this. It's against it. It's gonna hurt me. I'll tell you why if you need to go into that. But usually they don't even want to get into a discussion. They just want to leave you alone. just want to be like, okay, fine, it's against your religion, fuck you, get out of my face, you know?
Nobody wants to confront others. Most people don't want to confront, but some do.
Some do, some will attack the individual instead of the belief or whatever, you know. But, I mean, we're pretty passive here in this in the North American continent. Great Turtle Island is the natives, but I think we're good. Use this as an opportunity to do what you want, do what you love. You know, while everyone's panicking and freaking out, just walk in the light. You will glow so much. Sometimes my partner and I just walk through the store, nobody even blinks. Almost look at us in shame because we're not wearing masks and they are. And they're like, oh, why am I doing this to me? Just quit, you know, do what you got to do.
Yes, very good. Well, I'm glad you're synchronized with your partner on that topic, because if you weren't, that could be a conflict.
Yeah, we have a friend couple who they have a conflict among them. One is very mask and one is very anti-mask. One is very QAnon and one is very I couldn't care less. And you know, just they're a good couple too. They seem really healthy. They have a wonderful little girl.
How's your one of my favorite usernames? Your dad, Mental.
Mental Floss.
Great.
Mental Floss is doing good.
How's he on this topic?
I think he's for himself, but boy, every day is something new. I think he and I have grown closer in this. Like, you know, you can't attack people for. These days, people just need to vent. They need to vent so much. You just let me vent, so thank you for that. they just need to say, well, here's why it's so important and why I think you're an idiot if you don't do what I say, wearing a mask or not. And you just kind of got to go with whoever you're with. I'm, in a way, just try to create peace. I think that's where we're at. You know, he knows people, a lot of people in medical fields, so they're, you know, being very cautious, and they're getting overwhelmed with these tests, and they're getting backed up, and then the tests are not really sure how to interpret the tests sometimes. And so, yeah, he's inundated in that culture. I'm lucky I don't have to have that. Oh?
Defcon? I think I lost it.
I disappeared for a sec.
If you ever can't hear, just leave the room and come back. Hang up and come back in. This happens to me a lot. All of a sudden I can't hear anything. And that's mobile anyway. Mobile. If you're on your desktop, I think you're on your desktop because you sound perfect.
Yeah, I'm on a internet cable and a nice mic.
Oh, yeah, you are crystal clear. What about our other old psychologist friends? Are you in contact with any of them?
Oh, well, I just had a conversation with Fart Value the other day.
Oh, good, yeah. He was on yesterday on the Fart podcast. Yeah, great guy.
Fart Value is another fellow who is kind of surrounded by medical workers who he has his own challenges in navigating that culture. Fart Value and Bear, Ham, we had a good convo about, like, you know, the general craziness of the year.
I was trying to get K-Ham on, but I don't keep saying she's coming by, but I can never get a hold of K-Ham, the dare I've talked to.
Yeah. A whole lot. No.
Are you talking to Simon at all?
No, not really.
Simon and I cool. talked about the whole Corona thing.
Oh, good. Yeah.
I just like his perspective.
Kohler told me about that. Do you know Kohler?
Kohler, no.
Kohler. He named himself after the Dragon Ball Z character Kohler, I think.
Okay, is that beer cooler?
Oh, I think it's this, Kohler 1021. He's right here on your list of...
Okay. I haven't seen him in a donkey's age. Hold on.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Hi, I'm Peter from Austin, and you're listening to Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
I barely know who that was.
Well, that's it. That's my view. Is is a good time to do what you love and follow your dreams. You know what's going on right now, astrologically, or even just astronomically? Let's see if I can post this. No.
Is it true that when we look at the same exact face with the same white space at 4 o'clock, no matter where you are in the world, is what we see? We just had yesterday. Have you ever thought of it as one of the most puzzling, unexplained things in everyone's life at least once a month?
I'm so sorry that you asked a complicated question and I did not pay attention.
It's pretty simple. Yeah, go ahead. Okay,
hold on.
I'm trying to get
a screen grab of this clipboard, but Chrome is kind of stupid. It doesn't let me just paste into the chat like Firefox would post images.
Yeah. Can I,
maybe I have to go into unverified. Oh, maybe I'm not allowed to post images.
No, you can. I verified you. Put them in the live stream. Your full verification is DEFCON. See all right. The text channels. If you can see them, you can post them.
Share my screen? No. I don't. Wait, how do I? There's no chat in the live stream.
Live stream text chat? No, you've got to go up a bit. All the text channels are actually below. The verified text channels are below.
So go into general. Oh, there we go. Okay, I posted in general. There we go. Okay. So if you take a look at what I posted in the general chat, see all the way right now, the sun, the moon, there's Mercury, Venus, the Pleiades, Uranus, Mars, Saturn, Jupiter, it says Io, but that's Jupiter, and the moon. And there was a full moon. It was like everything all in a row, almost. It's kind of cool. What's going on right now.
Yeah, what I was asking, why do we always see the exact same face? Or Marcus asked this, I listened to the audio.
Why is the moon tightly locked to the Earth?
Why do we always see the same face? I believe there's a big white space at 4 o'clock on the moon, or image that we see. Why is it always the same no matter where you are in the world?
But why is what?
Why is the face always the same?
Face of the moon?
What we see, is it not?
Yeah, the face of the moon is the same because it's tightly locked.
We always see the exact same face, and now if it's a sphere, wouldn't you
Exact is not true. I mean, there's you can actually kind of see around a little bit, like you can see the craters or whatever you want to call them on the very edge. They do wobble a little bit in, like, if you were depending on the moon, like. If you follow the Tychos, for example, see that the moon isn't exactly going around in a circle. It's more like a it is a circle, but it's like it creates this beautiful toroidal shape. And so the angle will change slightly. You're not going to see much around it because but it's like 60 moons away from us or something, or I don't know, 60 Earths away, supposedly, you know. But that's because these things are apparently tidally locked. And if you follow the Tychos idea, then Venus and Mercury are too. And that's why we always see the same face of Venus. It's not that Venus is just obscured, although it is very obscured, like the surface. But that we will actually, you know, scientists do talk about this. Well, are we always seeing the same face? Well, that would make sense if Venus is tidally locked to the sun. Because it's a moon of
what
the sun.
What does tidally locked mean again?
Well, okay, we're using it, say, in some kind of resonance that it will always rotate to face the same way. Same way that Phobos and Deimos will rotate to synchronicity with their orbits of Mars. But the official explanation is that this is gravity. I personally, Simon questions somewhat the concept of gravity and how they say that this is what causes it. I don't think that's what causes it, personally. If you want to call it gravity, we'll have to redefine what gravity is and how it behaves. But that's the explanation if you're using the Cartesian model, you know. If you're in the flat Earth model, then, you know, anything goes. You can have it be any kind of thing you want. why not? Make up a good model that works. It doesn't matter. But if you're following the Cartesian, like, okay, yeah, these are like orbs or toroidal places that you can go to Venus, you can go to Mars, you know, to develop something that actually works in space, because rockets don't. And maybe
now you went to the Tycho's convention in Minneapolis, I believe.
Yeah. The astronomy convention.
Has there been any more follow up on the Tycho's model with you? Have you been able to
Simon's been starting an interesting chat with one of the programmers of this program, Stellarium, or one of the people that's helped with developing this American model. And it's interesting. I mean, it's hard to fault Paul for being so religiously adherent to his belief system, because someone who is believing in any religion would always relate all information back to his religious belief system. So in that sense, you know, you get an idea of what the Tychos is up against in terms of, like, even just suggesting the idea that the so-called third motion of Earth doesn't even exist, cannot possibly exist unless you rewrite those of or light. But that's the only advancement about, you know, they're getting it more accurate. It's not as accurate as the predictive model used for Stellarium. But it could, in the future, I don't know. Maybe they'll introduce another principle that things nudged more into place. You just have to, it's a new thing. Some cool explanatory power, but is it the final and last model that we ever need? No. Personally think so to look at concave, convex, inner Earth, all of it. It's really important. Some people, I was talking with, I met a stranger the other day. He was also not wearing a mask. So of course we looked at each other. We're talking with each other, and then we ended up
There's a whole group of people we can now be friends with, the no-maskers.
Whereas
before, we had nothing in common. Now we are divided by masks.
You can spot these people. We had a conversation, and he had a funny comment. I was like, yeah, I think maybe we're multidimensional. And he goes, well, that's a good way to cover all your bases. It was a friendly jab, you know, like, you're not going to choose a model. You may as well just say they're all true. I really do kind of, that's where I am right now. I feel kind of they all have something to offer. I am following them all. I don't mind not knowing. I don't need to decide
a
single thing useful. They all tell interesting stories. And what's more, you know, it opens up the doorway to the sacred universe stories about, you know, how there's this one mountain in the middle where we came down, and then outside of the mountains there's a circular river, and then another circular piece of land, which is an island, and then water and land and water and land and water and land, and it goes like out like that for hundreds of millions of miles. And that is that's been broken down by at least one fellow who wrote the Sacred Universe book, and it's a metaphor for the distances of the planet. And I think they even put the moon closer or further or something like that than we would today. We might say, oh, well, actually the moon is first and then you get to the planets or something. You know, there was a lot of good explanatory power in that too, and that stemmed from the Vedic texts to Indian. It's just
I want to change subject, and from Minneapolis around, I believe, city.
Wait, sorry, you're cutting out quite a bit. What was the subject?
Are you from Minnesota or Minneapolis, St. Paul, Minneapolis, Twin Cities area?
Yeah, I'm from the Twin Cities. Yeah.
What do you think about this George Floyd psyop folk?
It's, you know,
very close to your home in the sense.
Yeah.
Affect you.
I'm excited. They're defunding the police. It's Well,
say that again.
Defunding the police right now.
You're in support of that, or they're doing?
I'm in support of it. I mean, I like that. I think the city council is listening to the voice of the people. You may say they're misguided because they've been, peopled away from the true path or blah, blah, blah. But I mean, like, hey, give it a chance. Let's see what happens. I don't have to live there right now while it's happening, so.
Can you hold on one sec, Hoy? One sec.
Hey.
Hi, I'm back. Hello.
Finally got a burp on this.
I think you have to work shortly.
I still have time to have lunch, a shower. It's all good.
Good. So you're still in the Arizona area, the Phoenix area, I guess?
Yes. So the riots here were pretty minimal. There was like 200.
Oh, you had riots? Oh, yeah. Sorry. We didn't have Minneapolis.
Oh, yeah. Someone showed up with a flamethrower, and there was like some construction burnt down, but my opinion, this was an insurance scam. One time, the protesters were in another part of the city, and another construction burnt down, and it was like,
This is Minnesota, Minneapolis?
No, this is Phoenix.
Phoenix, yeah.
I was like, this is odd. But then I learned that you can actually claim, destruction from riots or something, and it's like a get money out of this. You can launder money somehow through this. So you could blame the protests on property damage and go through.
It's all reasonable. Yeah.
Well, it would work or not, I don't know, because I think that slowly the courts are becoming wise to this kind of scam, but that was at least attempted twice. Two big constructions. One of them, like I said, the protesters weren't even near it. They were in another part of the city. So it was just, then there was even a report of someone firing a weapon into the building on fire. It was like, what is going on here? So it was just really silly. It was a bit scary when I was working downtown and there was a big smoke cloud and I looked up and there was like, embers or like, blowing ashes. Going over the building, like, oh shit, like, this other part's gonna catch fire. It's kind of dry here, but, they got to it. It was fine. And yeah, now it's just the rubble.
So, what about your hometown, St. Paul, Minneapolis?
I've been following. There hasn't actually been too much. I mean, like, they abandoned the third precinct so that the rioters could go in. Oh, that was a sacrifice. That wasn't like, oh, the rioters took over and like, you're not going to overpower police station. Bullshit. No, the police abandoned the place so that it could be a symbol or something. I don't really fully understand why they did it. And then of course George Floyd was actor and but I understand though, because there really genuinely is racist, white on black violence all the time. It's got a really bad racism in Minnesota. We don't employ black people as easily. There's not enough trust on there. And people are like, oh, he's black, he can't do it. There's really that kind of level of racism. It's sad.
What about Media Fakery with George Floyd? Do you still like to look into Media Fakery regarding, say, anomalies in video?
Well, how can you not see it? Once you've seen it, you can't not see it. Like, you're not going to just suddenly be like, well, I'll just pretend it's real now.
Yeah.
If anything, it's just become even more rampant.
Right.
If anything, you get the impression that more and more parties who want power will hire these crisis actors and stuff. And crisis actors don't care. They just want a paycheck. So I don't think they care whether they're serving one Hegelian service or another. Left, right, communist, capitalist, it doesn't matter. Just take the paycheck. So there's like a little bit of a money battle. That might be a real thing. But if it's all Hegelian, then it doesn't matter. We're all just being taught to be hogs in the state.
Yes. How?
Whether your state is vanilla, strawberry, or chocolate flavored, doesn't matter.
That's right. How deeply do you look into media fakery events like the Boy Scouts? Do you really?
Honestly, I mean, sometimes since it's become almost mainstream, or like it's kind of, I mean, you could say there's like a mainstream factor to like looking into fakery and things now. You don't really have to. I mean, people now are just bringing it to me. Well, hey, have you seen this? Have you seen that? I think this is real. I think that's not real. So it's.
Are you known as the
cool
guy? Are you the media fakery expert?
No. I mean, people sometimes value my opinion.
Are you known to anyone in your circle as the author of the report?
Maybe a couple of people will come to me and be like, what do you think of this? Your take on it.
Mental philosophy.
He will hesitantly.
Hold on a sec. After the break.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
I'm here with DEFCON, formerly Hoi Polloi. We're talking psyops. What is mental philosophy?
Mental philosophy will hesitantly ask my opinion because he knows that I will give him an earful.
Right, so he might not want the whole enchilada. He might want.
Might not want to have to think about that when he's facing his friends who can't hold that thought in their heads.
Right.
He's a very open person, so that's the best way I could describe his hesitancy. It's not hesitancy to consider possibility, but it's that, you know, he wants to be able to deeply gaze into his friend's eyes and be there for them. And if he's distracted by, like, the idea that, you know, what they think is silly, kind of distract him and make him feel uncomfortable or give him comfort. And I don't want to do that to him. Maybe we ran out of things to say.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, sounds like you're just loading some stuff.
No, I got a phone call. I wish that I wish Discord would let you know when I'm on the phone. TeamSpeak, which is years and years and years older, would put a message in that I'm on the phone if I get a phone call. But Discord is not smart enough to be able to do that. That way you could see on my icon that I'm on the phone, because obviously phone doesn't know that I'm talking on Discord, which makes me wonder and laugh. If phones, obviously our smartphones can do a million things at once, unlike us as humans, and the idea that our phone contact tracing device by sending Bluetooth signals all around us and intercepting Bluetooth from all around us from other phones is laughable. Because if I'm on Bluetooth now talking to you, that barely works. So how the hell is going to be splitting the signal, sending and receiving other signals of people around me? It doesn't make any sense at all. I guarantee it can't work. And this, I'm talking about contact tracing the apps.
Yes, no, interesting, yeah. I have a friend who's actually trying to do that right now. Their job is to call people and be like, hey, just so you know, person come into contact with you and blah blah blah. Fascinating.
And how? What kind of money does he make for that?
I don't know. I should ask.
I heard it's $50,000-$60,000.
Oh yeah, maybe it is that much. I mean, they're in rent controlled. What is it called? Rent controlled, price controlled rent. So like they're already doing pretty well for themselves. On top of that, I mean, this could be lucrative, but I don't want to invade people's privacy, so I don't really.
Yeah. Well, you just ask, say you're interested. Maybe you'd make more doing that.
Mm.
Is it wrong if you don't believe in this whole hoax to make money from it? Morally, ethically? You say yes?
Yes, I do believe it is.
That if you're against vaccination, it's wrong to invest in GlaxoSmithKline or Abbott Labs or.
That's a big discussion, isn't it? Like, the morality of money. I mean, you could say, yeah, maybe, because, you know, they're getting some piece of this I mean, on the other hand, I mean, I'm part of a mutual fund. I know that they're just investing in what have you. I mean, they do a little bit of careful picking, avoid, you know, like Honeywell or whatever, think, or like BAE Systems or whoever's going to make the next fucking bomb. But on the other hand, like, it's like, yeah, it's like.
What's your take on vaccination?
Is it wrong? Is it wrong? I think ideally I'd like to get out of the mutual fund time.
What's your take on vaccination?
Think that you have to decide that for yourself. Most people I talk to say they don't get those two shots.
Right.
And I think they'd be like, yeah, no, I'm not going to give my baby the 70-shot cocktail or whatever they're prescribing now. But
your take on it, would you get
would I personally take any vaccines? No.
Yeah. Okay.
Absolutely not.
Yeah, agreed.
Regulation on those, silly. Like, I eat at McDonald's again? No. They're probably
Jordan.
Human and horse meat in the fucking hamburgers? Yes. Oh, I'm not going to eat at McDonald's again. No, I'm not going to eat at Wendy's. I'm even skeptical of Chipotle, and Chipotle has, like, the best ingredients of any fast food place. And I'm even like, I don't know. It's still a big fast food company. They're probably cutting corners somewhere that I don't really want to know.
Well, of course. Never eat at a restaurant. They saw what happened in the kitchen.
Yeah.
I think the same. But that goes for all restaurants. If you saw the things that go on in the kitchen, and I did. I used to be a dishwasher, $3.85 an hour. I couldn't eat that food. I ate it for a while, but then I brought my own to a restaurant.
I don't blame you. I went to this one place. Okay, the name should have warned me. It's called Picasso. In Italian, Picasso is like saying fuck. It also means dick. So, Picasso is like, oh, it's Picasso. How funny. But Americans don't understand that it's actually a disgusting name. Went there thinking, all right, it's all organic, whatever. Just took like a couple bites of this thing, and I was like, this is the most nauseating vomit tasting shit I've ever had. Said I cannot eat. I sent it back. Now when I look at the place, I just shudder. Cannot own this restaurant. I hope that Picasso gets shut down. It was that bad. I have never tasted something so insulting. I don't even know what was in it. Could have just been a bad mix of, like, you know, when a child is like, yay, ketchup and everything, and orange juice, just going to mix it all together and make a potion. That's what it tasted like. I was like, it's a chef, or is this just, like, some person really dicking around?
Jordan Maxwell was on IPS, Plane Society, a really good / podcaster. He thinks there's going to be a big October, late September surprise coming up.
Well, everyone said there was going to be a big surprise yesterday, okay? There's always going to be a big surprise. What are you going to do? Okay, sure. Not. Sorry. Simply responding. But, well, has he in the past made good predictions?
Well, he's been doing this 60 years. I'm not sure he's predicted anything. He's just explained how the Jesuit Vatican is in the United States and its structure on the agenda right now. Like, even if you don't believe anything he says, it's hard. I believe that this coronavirus destroy the United States and its constitution and to integrate the United States in the border. Really the only bastard child left in the world that's big that is required to bring everything in line. And if you believe in America 2050, which is the integration of the American economy, then you have to make and homogenize the three countries. And the biggest obstacle is all those pesky rights and freedoms of the United States, including the Second Amendment. So I definitely see the coronavirus hoax as squarely aimed at the United States. All the other countries participated because of wide integration of health security. But the United States is the petulant child. That's why you're getting the big numbers in simulation, the big number.
I mean, maybe it's possible. I mean, I kind of see it the opposite. I see it as like average people are like, oh, you know, there's this stuff going on. Average people in circles of who are aware of like media fakery. The coronavirus and BLM stuff is like, distraction, the petulance. It's more like, you know, people make this joke, like, well, if you don't want a nanny state, don't act like a spoiled child. But it's right now a lot of attitude leveled at the government that's like, if you don't want a nanny populace, stop being such a whiny government. That's kind of, there's a big division right now, states, and that may be on purpose or whatever. It may just be a character of our people. but like, that's, I don't see that going away. It's not like, and yeah, you're going to have people taking advantage and whatever, Zionists, Jesuits, whatever, coming in, China coming in, whatever, but in, I don't know, I don't pay attention to that. Maybe that's stupid of me and naive of me, but I try to pay attention to people feel free right now. Do you feel free to do what you want to do, regardless of what may be imposed on us? And I think there's a lot of that, more of that than there is of very white privileged thing to say, of oppression. I'm talking to a lot of people who have experienced systemic oppression lately, Native Americans and people of color, black folks, who are like, yeah, this is a real problem. I get it. I agree with them. I'm also hearing from those same people that there's a lot of good being done. And that's who I'm paying attention to. Maybe the people in charge, or who think they're in charge, believe they're in charge. But I think more lately I've been looking at it as more like a relationship. An abusive relationship for sure, but there is back and forth, and it's not so one-sided. It's not like, well, and then, you know, the New World Order is going to do this. I'm going to be raped in the ass, whatever. It's not like that as much as it is they are responding, because they're not very creative people. These misleaders, the self-proclaimed elite, they're not very creative. They just, I mean, people are like, oh, they, you know, made Independence Day so that they could prime us for an alien invasion. And I'm like, no, like, probably fucking went to the theater and saw Independence Day and were like, we could do that. They're not, just don't see them as like the, some of them maybe have like special magic masks that they can look in, as it's rumored, and like they can see the future and whatever. Maybe. But so we have that power too. We have that power too. So anything that you're, you know, it always comes back to me lately as like, we give our power away so easily. You can attribute this to some foreign thing that's going to come in and mess us up. But it's like, or you could see it as like, we're using them to come in and do what we want them to do. Then we will dispense with them. They will no longer be an organization if we don't want them to be. So you just have to see it both ways, and they both could be right on something.
Interesting. So you're not worried about the future?
I'm not worried about the future at all. No, I see, I mean, very hopeful, very optimistic.
Well, that's very healthy. Very good. Because every now and then I get pangs of worry because I listen to so much stuff, and I see the people around me, they're just reacting negatively to upside down world,
I get it. There's a lot of people in the like the Instagram and Reddit community that they'll see you know, a Bill Gates thing, and they'll be like, oh shit, what, he patented the coronavirus, fucking doomed. And it's like, no, like then there's the other people who see it and they're like, oh wow, cool, good to know, glad I know who's not on my side. And that's like, that's a healthier attitude. Yeah, maybe we're all wrong. I don't know. People say, oh shit, the pole shift is, I can't. So what? What are you going to do about that? What are you going to do about that? Nothing. So move on, you know, let's assume it's not happening.
Yes. The end of the world predicted at least 500 times in the last one, and it hasn't come yet. The worst thing that's going on is this stupidity about masks. That seems to be the biggest thing so far this year.
Don't wear a mask. If you're not going to wear a mask, be responsible and don't sneeze or cough at people, you know? It's like...
Try not to.
Your common sense.
I got allergies. Yes, there's a lot of common sense. And give people their personal space. A lot of people are thinking, not only are they trying to push this nonsense 6 foot, because people from the third world tend to be less hygienic, we're told, and they crowd into your personal space. I personally need at least 2 feet of personal space before I figure you're in my face. And, of course, the technological angle is the cameras, all the security state needs us far enough apart so we can identify people easily, track them easily. I think it could be all those things.
Yeah. Interesting. It's interesting to see the scripts play out. Like, who's going to, you know, it's funny to see QAnon be like, and then Trump will reveal his running mate is a Kennedy that everyone thought was dead, and it's going to blow people's minds. And it's just like, cool. Well, good luck with that. I don't think that's going to shock anyone at this point, but you know, it's like, it's just interesting. Just everyone's trying to control the narrative now, and, no, like.
Well, I still think there's a thought out script.
Lean into the ones you like. Lean into the ones you like, and write your own if you can.
Well, did you know that because YouTube is taking down so many of my favorite videos that I post on fakeologist.com, I started a video hosting service for just myself right now, fakeotube.com, which is just basically all videos that I really like.
That's great. Yeah, I've been saving some videos too. I've been learning that they take them down so. Just
really
use,
quickly.
I just download them. And I don't know if I'm going to put them up on BitChute or what, but...
Yeah, BitChute is good. But if you want, if you're interested, sign up at Faco.
But BitChute is also filled with, like, screaming racists, and I can't tell if some of them are legit or if some of them are, like, the people following the government script that's like, we have to divide people.
Well, that's why I created my own video site, because I actually try to upload lots of different videos to all kinds of sites, and they're almost all taken down. But I said, screw it, I'll get my own server. I'm talking about innocuous stuff, too. Vimeo and all these daily, they all rip my stuff down. And it's not even hardcore stuff. I was really just using it as a test. But that's why I said, if you're interested, because I know you, and if you have some type videos that are good, sign up at FakeoTube and I'll give you upload.
Oh, thanks. That'd be fun, yeah. I'd like to put up the one...
Oh, hold on.
If you like this audio and want to support the site in a small or big way, please hit the PayPal donate button on the side of the Fakeologist.com webpage. You can show your support for as little as $1.19 a month by subscription or one-time donation. Thank you for your support.
In my dream, I have a plan. Yes, thank you for your support. Appreciate it, everybody. FakeoTube is rather expensive. What's the video you were going to put up?
It's this nurse who was working in New York in one of the most hospitals, and she's talking about how we're killing healthy people with these ventilators. That it was just
I'm kind of worried that crisis actor. Is that the one of the 9-part series or something?
No, I don't think so. But could be. Yeah, I mean, there could be that. But on the other hand, like, it does make a great deal of sense with medical workers I know in the East Coast area. And it's consistent with my reality at the moment. Oh, could be a acting thing, but... I'd let people judge for themselves.
Well, if you do subscribe or sign up, give me your username over there. It's all, I have 5 sites. They all are independent of each other with regards to you. Tell me your username and I'll give you uploading privileges.
I also saved one that, you know, I've just been collecting them. But the Inner Earth one is fun. And some other, like, UFO things. I've actually gotten back into alternate dimensional things, Bigfoot and...
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I mean, there's some awesome stories. Really, I think there's something to it. Really, I really do. I've gone totally woo in the woo in the common sense.
I really La La Land.
I mean, it is and it isn't. You know, it's like there's either something psychological and there's something real to it. It's weird where people will get like physical things happen. You know, a scratch or a bruise or something. And the person will describe to someone what happened to them, and the person who saw it would be like, I didn't see that, yet they could see that thing happening, and they didn't do it to themselves. So there's like that kind of thing. It's like in between worlds, the veil, you know, that kind of thing. That is interesting. Yeah, I've been saving that kind of stuff. That's less interesting to Clues Forum and ecologist subjects, so maybe you don't want me on FakoTube, but
I do if you put some stuff that's fakeologist related. Of course, your interests are going to be varied and wide.
I'm interested in way too many things to know what you'd consider
related. Fakery. Oh, okay.
Oh, right.
Well, So then,
is it only debunking things? Like, let's say, oh, okay, I found a UFO video and it's clearly fake. I belong.
Yeah, probably.
But I found a UFO video and it's clearly hard to fake, and it seems very legitimate. It's not, that might not belong.
Yeah, that would be,
I don't know. Maybe I'll just keep exploring for a while. I don't know if I'm ready to build up any case or anything. I'm just kind of downloading videos that interest me. And
yeah, that's fair. Are you on Clues Forum at all these days? No?
No.
So you're not an administrator there anymore?
I saved a post that I liked. I wrote a post about how the moon is lit, how it doesn't line up with the sun's rays. So I saved that. Went on to Clues Forum and took all my images and preserved that. I like it. I like what I wrote. I might even add to it sometime to find out more about it.
Did you get a response?
The time? No. Later, someone may have said something like, it's an interesting point. It's still a point that goes ignored in line, but I understand. I think it's a very simple thing to understand. A couple things that I think are very simple to understand that people know how to respond to. Very obvious. One of them is the moon is not lit directly by the sun. It's line. There's either some curving of light or there's something. The other one that's easy to understand, in the first one you can just see it. Just look when the moon and the sun are in the sky at the same time. Another one is the lack of proof of the speed of the Earth's rotation. Now the Sagnac experiment measures the Earth's rotation shows light rotating. But physically, are not pushed towards the equator in any capacity, not even at a very obtuse angle. So that shows that the Earth is not just like confluence of, oh, okay, it's gravity holding us here, it's spinning, and that creates a centripetal effect. So that's not what's going on. And I think that's very interesting. That's very easy to understand. You're not leaning towards the equator. We build buildings straight up and down. Don't have to lean them away from the equator to compensate for any 2 pounds of force or whatever. And the force getting, you know, more and more extreme the higher up you go, because let's say the lower part of the building is pulling the upper part of the building in that rotating work. Seems the whole framework is rotating. That doesn't mean that we live in some kind of multi-dimensional world. And the rules don't consistently apply from like ground up into infinity. We try to extrapolate. We try to say, oh, well, you know, we're here, so if we were on Venus, it would look like this and this. I don't know. We have like a UFO that lets us travel actually in outer space, not just fake it. I don't think we know. I don't know. Those kinds of things interest me lately. It's kind of, it's like straddling the line between fakeology and trying to develop what is actually real.
Well, your views are varied and interesting and ever changing.
People, that doesn't change.
Yeah.
I like people a great deal, and I have a lot of hope and faith in them. Oh,
well, I do too. If they could just get out from massive coronavirus hoax. All right. Well, we've been chatting for about an hour and a half. It's been a great call. You're coming through loud and clear, probably way better than mobile. But I've enjoyed it.
Thank you. Glad you enjoyed it. Enjoyed it too for letting me talk so much.
Well, that's what the interviewee does.
But
as an interviewer, I talk too much. But I try and let the guests talk a little because what I think, but they don't think because you're not on here all the time.
Well, maybe we could talk sometime about our difference about two topics, because I think I might be able to change your mind. I might just be able to tell you some stories that you'd be like, okay, all right, maybe that's real.
But I have to come to Area 51?
Oh, no. I don't know if I believe in that stuff. But I mean, it's just a simple matter of like looking up, paying attention to the things in the sky, and not all of them are near Earth objects. I don't know, but you're in like a city, so I don't know if you're going to get great
visibility of the heavens.
Yeah, you'd have to go out
2 hours. Maybe. Yeah, you're right.
But besides that, I mean, have you never experienced a haunting or something like that?
No, a haunted house. Not really, just the one at Disney World.
What about like a time fart, you know, where there's like something that just like a voice that keeps showing up over and over, a disembodied voice? Nothing like that?
No. I couldn't even get the Ouija board to work.
Oh, man, yeah, that's...
I pushed that thing all over the place. It would not move.
Ouija boards are funny. I don't know what to think about those. Just, people are like, oh, no, you're going to unlock people. I'm like, oh, that's just weird. It's weird. Psychological.
Wasn't that in the movie The Prestige, where the guy was... Did you see that movie, The Prestige?
That, no, maybe... The Illusionist? Is that like same time? The Illusionist where the guy... I saw the one where David Bowie plays Nikola Tesla.
Yeah, that was The Prestige. Maybe another movie where... might have been a Woody Allen movie.
Woody Allen.
Where he busted the guy that was contacting the dead. That might have been in the movie. I think it was. But I'm not positive.
I'm just going to drop this in here. And I think a lot of fakeologists will be like, oh, no, this is so distasteful.
All right, what is
it? We love controversy here, right? That's kind of one of the things that happens here is gossip and name-calling. So my favorite podcast right now is called Kryptonaut. And it's like these three drunk guys.
Wait, it's called what?
Kryptonaut.
Oh, Kryptonaut, okay.
Kryptonaut podcast. It's these three drunk guys just... and yelling at each other, getting into arguments over stories that sound totally made up.
Okay, let me look that up.
But they treat them as if they are like 40 in topics that are like real, you know, like, oh, could this have been this? Could this have been that? And it's just a delight.
Kryptonaut. Find it.
Kryptonaut podcast. Yep.
How do you spell that?
Kryptonaut.
Not as an astronaut. Okay, I found it. 145 episodes, 60.
And it's good to listen to them in order because they make fun of each other and they make references to previous episodes. So it's fun. And I think it came out of a cryptozoological website. You know, they're trying to track weird stuff, and then just really, let's start a podcast about this. It feels like hanging out with some busy buddies. It's real fun.
You'd recommend it?
I highly recommend it. Might just laugh.
Okay. I put it in the show notes, and I'm going to try and listen to it. I'll just start at the beginning. Episode 1.
Yes.
Start at 1, see if I can get to episode 1.
Give it like a dozen episodes.
Loveland Frogmen from January 15th.
Just click on the ones that sound interesting to you. You're going to get a kick out of it.
All right, I will. I will definitely do that. All right, well, thanks so much for the chat. It was great catching up with you.
Thank you. You too. I wish I'd gotten to hear more about your life.
Well, it's really a lot the same as the way it used to be. Nothing changed.
How's your family doing?
Everyone's good, except the one that should be going off to school this year. Her last year was destroyed by this nonsense.
Oh.
The next year is going to be probably equally as crappy. Virtual is never, like you said, the same as person.
No, it's not the same.
No, it's terrible. I hate virtual. I hate Zoom. I hate Zoom meetings. I think to replace the personal touch, it's not even close. I feel the worst for her. Terrible. My life is about the same, just a little trucking, as you know. You're the only guy on Fakeologist that's ever been in my truck. And I think you can speak to the fact that it's and boring.
It's cool, though. I mean, like, I would have snacks there and sleep there and watch movies there. I mean, it's fun. You have a nice truck.
It is. I'm mainly driving. I don't do any of those other things, really. So I don't want to. I could, and I have, but mainly just driving.
You're lucky you have you're a home owner, am I right?
Yes, owner operator.
Okay, there you go. So that's something. That's cool.
That's great. No, it is great. Anyway, yeah, it's cool. All right, DEFCON X. Good chatting with you.
Chatting with you, Fakeologist.
Don't lose your Discord account, because if I ever want to ping you, I can do it well.
Go ahead and private message me whenever, it's fine. I often do not have time to do this, so you got me at a good time.
Oh, perfect. I'll bounce the old persona off. Not you.
All right. Take care, man. Have a good one. And stay free.
I'm going to.
Remember, do what you want. Don't let anyone get you down. Just do what you want, man. This is an opportunity. Even save money on travel right now.
Absolutely. I was in England this year. So I'm really, actually I wanted to spend that. I'm not happy, but I am definitely spending. I want to go to Washington. Now I don't even know if I'm allowed over the border.
Mm.
They're talking about the nasty Americans.
Oh.
We're even hearing for the rest of the year, and I'm not happy about that. Cause I do like America, and I do like to go there and shop there and visit there. And I've seen all the Canadian provinces. I really want to start heading into the U.S. I was going to go to Mount Rushmore. Trump went there first, so I got a pretty good look at it. I don't really need to go now, but I do.
Yeah, that's not interesting. Site. If you're going to go to South Dakota, go to Piasapa. Check out the Black Hills, secret Black Hills, and go up to Bear Butte. Take a look around. Gorgeous. You might see the Northern Lights. It's like this wonderful, really wonderful place. It's kind of, you know, the president's heads, whatever, egotistical them. The nature in South Dakota is awesome.
All right, yeah, you've been, because it's a neighboring state to Minnesota, I believe.
Yes, it is. It's neighboring, although it takes like an 8-hour drive to get over from.
Yeah.
You'll go by the Corn Palace. They might shut down the Corn Palace, actually. Last chance to see the Corn Palace before they shut it.
Yeah, South Dakota has never been on my list of places to go except for Mount Rushmore, but I'm sure it hasn't been on list.
As long as you're over there by Mount Rushmore, go to the Black Hills. It's great hiking, and you'll see a lot of deer. It's just lovely.
Okay, well, thanks for the travel tip. If I ever get down there, I will. I will check it. But thanks so much. And
we go there frequently, my family and I. So let me know where you're going. Maybe we can meet up.
Well, it doesn't seem like it's going to be this year because, like I said, we're not going to allow to flip over the border. Although I was thinking of testing it. Not sure exactly who would stop me, the Canadian side or the American side. Who would stop me?
I couldn't meet up this year. We're still trying to save up enough money to move, but soon.
Are you leaving the area? Or are you
next
few
years?
Next.
Yeah.
Where do you want to go next?
I mean, I personally would like to go to the beach. That's expensive, so
California?
We're probably going to end up. I wish California could just be like not California anymore. It's such a horrible government. But
hold on.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
I'm Original Simulant from Florida. You're listening to Fakeologist Radio on fakeologist.com, motherfucker.
Would you go to the Florida, Florida beach with Original?
Yeah, Florida would be nice. I like Florida. I like California. I mean, these beaches, whatever you want to call them, what state they stay there in, whatever. I just like the beach. It wouldn't matter to me if it was Costa Rica, Mexico. But I think we're going to be remaining in the southwest for now.
Yeah.
Around the Colorado Plateau, which is a rather large region to, like, concentrate on.
You don't have to worry about snow in Arizona, although there is snow if you go up to the mountains.
We lived in Flag for a while. It was nice.
Flag? Flag, short?
Yeah. Flag. And of Sedona, we lived there. Although there is, we were speculating that Sedona is a safe city, you know, like one of those ex-military, quote-unquote, intelligence retiree kind of towns, because the only highway exit on 17 that has these a string of cameras, and then you get off and you go to this place, and there's this place called Secret Mountain Wilderness, and right there in Sedona and Boynton Canyon, and there's been stories of people going too far on the trail and getting turned around by people in fatigues and guns and
military.
It's a military base in the middle of this gorgeous place. Of course, they would choose that. But
319.
Oh, we could coexist. Why not?
Very good.
Aliens, let's do it. Peacefully living together.
All right. Well, my truck says it. Can you believe this? 49 Celsius in the sun here.
Holy buckets!
That's because the truck is worth 10 Celsius, but.
Stay safe, cool, and free.
I will. And maskless as long as possible.
Yeah, you don't
all
need
right.
That.
All the best to you.
All the best to you. Be well.
All right. Take care. Bye.
Care.
That's all, folks.